tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 21st of April 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I have a bit of a shocking headline to look at today, but really it doesn't come as any surprise. And this comes from GB News. Police are too busy to arrest pedophiles, new report says. Well, I wonder why they could be too busy to arrest pedophiles. Could it be because they're spending a lot of their time going after people for voicing their opinions on the internet? And I think most people would be very concerned to hear this. In fact, I think most people would rather that the police went and arrested the pedophiles than arrested people for voicing their opinions on the internet. Children are being left at risk as a consequence of stretched resources. Police forces across England and Wales are failing to arrest individuals who view indecent images of children because they are overwhelmed by surging demand, a new report has said. So, of course, there's an increase in this, which is also causing a problem. But even when they do catch people with indecent images of children, so many times they don't even give them a prison sentence. I've got just one that happened this week. Former aide to Labour MP spared jail after downloading 500 indecent images of children. Conor McGrath, 29, was a borough councillor in Stevenage, Hertfordshire between 2023 and 2025 and also worked for MP Kevin Bonavia, and he has condemned the McGrath's sickening criminality. The offender was sentenced at St Albans Crown Court on Friday, April 17th, to 8 months in prison, suspended for 2 years, after pleading guilty to three counts of making indecent images of children. At a different court last month, he admitted having 77 Category A images, 109 Category B images, and 329 Category C images and videos. So that's an awful lot of absolutely vile material that he had, and yet he's just been given a suspended sentence. Well, he was released under investigation. He met a colleague at a pub and told them that he was worried police would find lewd photographs on his devices and think he was a pedophile, the court heard. He also told his then colleague that he had deleted or tried to delete images on his devices. Police eventually found the images on the iPhone and the iPad that they seized in an original search. And you look for the judge's comments here, and the judge just says that Mr. McGrath has faced public shame. He's lost the career that he had. He has no realistic prospect of resuming work in politics or adjacent to politics. So there's no absolute condemnation of this. Cast your mind back to any instance where you've seen a nationalist prosecuted for inciting hate, effectively voicing their opinions against immigration or the internet, and you'll see that the judge will refer to horrific, awful behaviour. I mean, he said that I was a stain on humanity. My comments about the grooming gangs made me into a stain on humanity. So you'll see that these judges, they seem to take it far more seriously that somebody is against mass immigration than they do that somebody has 500 indecent images of children. I mean, we recently had this researcher for Hope Not Hate, who was also, I think, a Labour councillor He was prosecuted for paedophilia as well, for propositioning a child. And again, we don't hear anything from the judge about him being a stain on humanity or an absolutely awful human being. We just hear, oh, well, his career's been ruined, so we'll just give them a suspended sentence. The findings emerged in a damning new report from His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services. The inspectorate found that referrals for online child sexual abuse increased by 66% between 2023 and 2024, leaving officers unable to cope with their workload. Well, how about you take the officers away from looking at internet posts and you put them on going after the pedophiles? I mean, in my instance, there were about, I think, 13 or 14 police that burst into my house to collect all of my devices. Back in 2017, there was detective inspectors. They had a whole entire operation on going after me for voicing my opinions online. So you imagine how many people are involved in that and how they could have been put to better use going after pedophiles. And I think any person that you ask on the street whether they would be more concerned, whether they would prefer the police went after pedophiles or went after people for voicing their concerns about mass immigration and grooming gangs, then I think they would say we want the police to go after the pedophiles. That is far more important. But that's not the importance, that's not the way around that the establishment sees it. Investigators warn that the current police response to this category of offending is falling below acceptable standards, with children being left at risk as a consequence of stretched resources. And they're not just being left at risk because the police aren't investigating this. When you hear about the way that the police are actually dealing with this, it's even more horrendous. The report revealed that some forces are opting to invite suspects for voluntary interviews rather than formally arresting them, primarily because this approach involves less administrative burden. However, inspectors warned this practice poses significant risks to vulnerable children. Well, of course it does, because they can't put any conditions on their bail. It means that they're effectively telling the person what the child has alleged about them, warning them of what the child has said, and then they can intimidate the child into withdrawing their complaint, or do even worse to the child. It was the same with these grooming gangs. We were told that there was this policy of inviting the alleged grooming gang groomers, inviting them in for a voluntary interview where they would then be told who it was that was making the allegations against them. And then they would go out and abuse and intimidate the child that was making these allegations. So it wasn't just happening to grooming gangs years ago. They're still now doing the same thing for just general pedophiles. They're just inviting them into the police station, telling them what the allegation is, and then letting them go again instead of putting any restrictions on them from having any contact with the child that made the allegation. When suspects attend voluntarily and are subsequently released without charge, police cannot impose bail conditions designed to protect potential victims. So just to make life easier for the police, because they haven't got enough resources, this is the way that they're doing it, which is, of course, it's harming potential victims. And as I say, they've got plenty of resources to go after people for voicing their opinions, but plenty of resources to go after people that are complaining about our women being raped. I mean, just last week there was an accusation of rape. I think it was in Epsom, gang rape that happened. Woman reported it to the police. People went out to protest against this because it's quite clear it was carried out by migrants. There's a big migrant hotel in that area. And the police's response is to bring out police in riot gear and to say, oh, well, we don't have any evidence that the rape happened. Well, you have the witness's report. Is that not evidence? I believe what they're saying there is we don't have any forensic evidence because we were told about this or it was cleaned up afterwards. So we don't have any forensic evidence. But surely the witness's statement that this occurred That's evidence, is it not? But their response isn't to condemn the rapists. Their response is to condemn the people that were complaining about the rapists, going after the people that arranged the protest. It's like, if you complain about these things, then the police go after you, but not if you actually carry out these things. And we can see the same thing here. If you're a pedophile and somebody makes the accusation that you've been abusing children, they'll just invite you into the police station, tell you who it is that made the accusation, and then let you go again. During our inspections, we found that this approach was often used to manage workloads, the report stated. So it's more important for them to lighten their workload than it is to protect children. Decisions to use voluntary attendance did not always consider the risk that may be posed to victims. So they didn't even do a hazard assessment before even doing this. They just did this because they didn't have enough resources. The inspectorate recommended that all suspects in online child sexual abuse cases should be arrested rather than questioned voluntarily. The scale of the resource crisis facing specialist units is stark, with some investigators juggling as many as 54 active cases simultaneously. Now, I should imagine that's quite difficult. You'd imagine that a detective inspector would just concentrate on one case, not 54 simultaneously. Forensic analysis of mobile phones and other electronic devices can take up to 2 years in certain force areas, prolonging investigations and extending the period during which children remain vulnerable. And again, this is the same thing that they do with nationalists. They will take their devices and then they'll spend years going through your devices, and you won't actually go to court until years later. And you look at my offences were 2017 and I wasn't even taken to court for them until 2023. And you've got the same thing is happening here with these pedophiles and child abusers. Surely the simple answer to this that I believe the majority of the population would support would be to stop using your resources up on people voicing their opinions and divert them to this, especially you've got this massive increase, 66% increase in child abuse cases. The report also highlighted inadequate equipment, noting that officers frequently lack appropriate technology to examine suspects' devices when conducting home visits. Well, I mean, that's just common sense, isn't it, really? You're going to need an expert to break into a phone to get the password to it. And if they're only going there under a voluntary interview, then they can't even ask for the password, can they? I mean, they can only look at the devices if they've actually arrested somebody. And I don't think they have the right to get a password from someone. I mean, they can if you're abused of terrorism. If you're accused of terrorism, arrested coming through an airport, then they can say, well, you have to give us the password to this device. If you don't give us the password, we can put you in prison for it. And I know this because so many nationalists have been stopped at airports and this has been used against them. And they've said, well, what's your, you know, how come I'm being accused of terrorism? And they don't have to give any answer to that. If they've picked you up at the airport under that act, then they can literally just demand anything from you and you have to give it to them. You have no right to silence. You have no right to a lawyer. I mean, it's hard for people to believe that this takes place in Britain, but it does. And it's because there are special rules in airports. And also because obviously people want to prevent terrorism, but it's being used against political dissidents rather than terrorists. I mean, it was used against George Galloway when he was coming back from Russia. It was used against, I'm not sure if it was used against Max Musson or friends of his. It's been used against Paul Golding. I think it's been used against Tommy Robinson. I mean, these people aren't terrorists. What they are is right-wing political dissidents. And yet these laws are being used against them. And they're forced to hand all their devices over and they're forced to hand their password over. Either they'll be sent to jail. I think Tommy Robinson challenged that. I think Paul Golding did as well. And both of them refused to actually hand their password over. So you can see that even in cases like that, it's difficult to get a password. So if you've got police that are arresting somebody for online child abuse, looking at these images, they're not going to be able to get into their phones, are they? Unless they actually take the phones from them. So I don't see how you can actually speed that up unless you actually arrest these people and take the phones. Because if you're just giving them a voluntary interview, you're just giving them a chance to delete all the evidence on their phone, aren't you, really? The report also highlighted inadequate equipment, adding to these difficulties. There is currently no nationally accredited training program for detectives working on online child sexual abuse investigations, resulting in inconsistent standards across different constabularies. Do you think there is a nationally accredited training program for counterterrorism? You bet there is. I mean, they have all of these all of these departments, all of this work that goes into it, all these specialised police officers. And as I say, they're not used to go after terrorists. They're used to go after nationalists. If you read in Sam Melia's book, they were continually referring to him as a attacked adjacent prisoner, which means terrorism act adjacent prisoner. When I was in court, the evidence, when it was shown on TV screens, it was shown on TV screens by counter-terrorism, effectively. It was counter-terrorism that investigated me. Anybody that is a nationalist that is accused of a public order offence, inciting hate, or malicious communications, they will be investigated by counter-terror police, as if it's terrorism, even though it's not terrorism, of course. It's just breaking the Public Order Act, but it will be counter-terrorism that investigate it, and you will be referred to as tact adjacent, adjacent to the Terrorism Act, although it isn't actually terrorism. So they have joined up thinking on that. They have proper training on that, which is being used to go after people for voicing their opinions, or effectively saying what it is that they can see, describing what it is that they can see. And yet there's no national training for online child sexual abuse, which is more important, preventing people from complaining about this sort of thing or actually stopping this sort of thing. Michelle Skier, His Majesty's Chief Inspector of Constabulary, described online child sexual abuse as one of the most serious and fastest growing crimes facing our society today. She said demand is rising at a rate that forces cannot keep pace with using current resources. Children are waiting too long to be safeguarded, investigators are carrying unsustainable caseloads, and too many forces lack the technology and training they need to do this work effectively. Now, have you ever heard them say anything like that about nationalists? Have you ever heard them say, oh, well, the investigators lack the resources, they've got unsustainable caseloads, they lack the technology? No, you're never told about that at all. We're told that it's a terrible thing, and there's a massive need for these people to be investigated and prosecuted for inciting hate, but you never hear that they're running out of resources. They've always got endless resources to actually do this, and yet where children are concerned, they've got no resources. The people investigating child abuse, sexual abuse online, they got no resources at all. The chief inspector emphasized that police cannot tackle this crisis in isolation, calling on the Home Office, National Police Chiefs Council and College of Policing to act urgently on the inspectorate's recommendations. A Home Office spokesperson said the sexual abuse of children online is one of the most disturbing crimes of our time and has a devastating long-term impact on victims. Charges and prosecutions for child sexual abuse are now at their highest ever levels, and we will continue to support policing to bring more offenders to justice. We will not hesitate to go further to protect our children online. The government will soon strengthen the law in the Crime and Policing Bill with new offences that target tech-assisted child sexual abuse and improve the management of offenders. Well, again, at the risk of repeating myself, why don't they just divert the resources that they spend on thought crime onto this actual crime of our most vulnerable segment of the population, innocent children? Now, when I was in the hostel after prison, in the prison itself, general population is separated from the VPs, the so-called vulnerable prisoners, which will be pedophiles, basically, and the general population are kept separate from them. When you have to stay in the hostel, though, they put the pedophiles in the hostel as well as your general population prisoners. And from talking to other general population prisoners that had more experience of the prison of the prisons themselves, they would say to me that the pedophiles themselves, the authorities has sympathy for them because they consider that to be something that they can't help doing. They can't help being a pedophile, as if it's like the same as what they say about homosexuals. Homosexuals just can't help being homosexual. And they think the same about pedophiles. They think they just can't help being pedophiles. So they look on them in a much better way than they do on the general population prisoners, because they say, well, the general population prisoners, they made their choice to break the law. They made their personal choice, whereas these pedophiles, they don't have any choice in what they're doing. So the pedophiles are actually looked upon in a more elevated standard than a general population. And when you, so many of the general population now are in there just for voicing their opinions, they're effectively saying that voicing your opinions is a far worse crime than sexually abusing children. And that's how bad things have got, the situation that we're in. We don't have problems with not enough resources to go after the pedophiles. We have imported people into the country from third world countries that are 20 times more likely to carry out sexual offences than our own people. I'm referring there to particularly to Afghans. And we have a horrific story from France about an Afghan migrant that was released this week. You might have already heard of it. Afghan male arrested over suspected rapes of goats and sheep. These are the sort of people that are being put up in hotels by our government. And when they close down the hotels, they don't deport them. They put them in houses of multiple occupancy. They scatter them around the country, basically, so they can be living in anybody's community. Could have one of these houses of multiple occupancy in there with Afghans in it, when Afghans are 20 times more likely to carry out sexual offences than the indigenous British people. I mean, this one here is a particularly egregious one, raping goats and sheep, and I'm sure most people are probably seeing videos of this sort of thing going on. There are quite a few videos of Africans and Afghans and Arabs engaged in this sort of behaviour that just end up being shared around on the internet. An Afghan migrant has been arrested in France after local farmers repeatedly found their livestock with legs bound and showing signs of having suffered sexual assaults. So this person had obviously carried out this sort of act before. He obviously had experience in doing it. And he was obviously repeating this offence as well in multiple places. The Anti-Crime Brigade, the BAC of the French National Police, took a 19-year-old Afghan migrant into custody last week after farmers in the Bouches-du-Rhône region near Marseille set up motion-activated cameras to catch a suspected animal rapist. So it was only the farmers that actually caught this person. Shepherds in the region first reported the abuse to police in early 2026, with a surge of attacks against animals recorded in February and March of this year. French newspaper Le Figaro states farmers found their sheep and goats with their legs tied up on several occasions and the female animals' genitals left bloody by the abuse. The West France reports that one attack in February against a lamb left the animal in critical condition. I mean, this is absolutely horrific. I mean, somebody who's capable of things like this is a devil in human form. The motion-activated cameras worked and took images of the alleged perpetrator of a high enough quality for police to make an arrest. The unnamed Afghan male appeared in court this week and, if convicted, faces up to 3 years in prison. for animal cruelty, just 3 years. I mean, this person should be locked up for the rest of their life. They should be sent back to Afghanistan, where the Taliban would almost certainly hang him for this offence. I'm afraid we have a lot of the very worst people from Afghanistan. We now have them in Europe. I mean, the Taliban used to execute pedophiles, publicly execute pedophiles. And when NATO went in there and removed the Taliban, a lot of these pedophiles then went to NATO and got jobs because they were happy to work with NATO and the West, because they could see that NATO would turn a blind eye to sexual abuse of children. And then when the Taliban managed to push the Americans out, the former members of the police, because it was literally important people in society that were carrying out this awful pedophilia. It's called Bakobazi. You can look it up on Wikipedia. I did a podcast about it a couple of years ago. These pedophiles were effectively given high position jobs by NATO, and they were collaborators, effectively. So when the Taliban pushed the Americans and the British out of their country, these collaborators were desperate to get out of the country. And of course, because they had worked with NATO, providing a translation as police, all these sorts of things that they had worked with NATO, they then had a reason for the West to bring them into our countries. So I'm not surprised that we have instances of Afghan migrants raping sheep and goats, and Afghan migrants raping young girls, and all these other horrific things that we see that is associated with them, because we don't just have Afghans in our country. We have Afghans in our country who are more likely to be involved in this sort of thing, because they know that if they were caught doing this sort of thing in Afghanistan, they would be hanged for it. If there is a chance that you could be executed in your own country for a crime that you have carried out, then the governments in the West will not deport someone to that country. This is the reason why the people that carried out these grooming gang offences, why they don't deport them. Because if they were to be deported back to their country of origin, they would be hanged for what they've done. And because we don't allow hanging in Britain, we say, well, we can't send them back to that country. So this is the reason why we have them in our countries. Is because of our interference in Afghanistan. I don't know the reason why they're more likely to carry out these sexual offences, certainly not with animals. It may just be that they're oversexed and don't have the same ability that people have in the West, or the same ability that men have for self-control. Perhaps they don't have as much self-control over there. But to be raping animals, I don't know what it could possibly be that what psychology is behind doing something like that. I mean, you'd have to ask Professor Edward Dutton. He's written books on the grooming gangs, looking at the reasons why we have this grooming gang phenomena. And it's because people lower down in a society that has polygamy, where one man may have lots of wives, the people right down the bottom of the social scale, they have no chance to reproduce, so their reproductive strategy becomes gang rape, effectively. And he says that's the reason for why you have this grooming gang phenomena, and we've imported that into Europe, and this is why we have these grooming gangs. It's a reproductive strategy, effectively, by the people on the lowest parts of society, in countries like Afghanistan and Pakistan and places in Africa. But I don't know what it, because of course it's not a reproductive strategy to have sex with a goat, or to rape a goat, or to rape a sheep, is it? I mean, that shows an extremely unbalanced mind, and definitely not the sort of person that you want in Europe. But our leaders have welcomed these people into Europe. Robert Jenrick was talking about how proud he was to have found Afghans, all these houses that he's found for them within Britain. He was really proud of bringing thousands of Afghans into Britain, even though they are 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assaults. But I guess even this, they're probably not investigating these as much as they should be either, because they don't have the resources. Again, because all the resources appear to be put into so-called counter-terrorism, which is effectively going after people for voicing their opinions, for pointing out what it is that they can see in the world, and using offensive language for doing so when they get upset at what they see. And then that is effectively inciting hate. It seems to me that all our resources are being put towards that, when really our resources should be put into going after pedophiles. And if we didn't have a large number of Afghans in our countries that our governments have invited into our countries, then these horrific things like this would not be happening in our countries, would they? And the fault really does lie at our representatives' feet, at the fault of the government for all of this. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.